business, political life, in the very most senior, powerful positions across the world, we just need more women.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the data around the world, you see that women, about 16% of women are guiding CEOs or they are in corporate boards. But it's also the culture. It's really important that men understand that they need to get involved and champion women in their organizations, whether they're a CEO or whether they're a manager of the team.
Do you feel confident that there really is such a distinction between male, masculine, and feminine values? Because if you don't believe in that basic distinction, then a lot of your research sort of falls down at first hurdle.
Sure. So I think, Stephen, the essential challenge here is that the skills that a leader needs to get that job are not the same skills they need to keep it. And so definitely being aggressive, being competitive, these are all core attributes in becoming a leader. And those need to hold on as you move forward to running a company. But it's then getting to this point where CEOs, managers of the team, it's about engaging. It's about engaging with millennials. It's about engaging with your customers and engaging with your broader community. And that's where these values come in. I think the big misnomer is that we sort of compartmentalize our work lives and our home lives, when in fact, all of these things are really core to driving leadership today.
Right. The skeptic in me is thinking, it all sounds great. I don't doubt for a second that when people are faced with a survey from your own consultancy and many others, they express this deep desire to see, quote unquote, more feminine values come to the fore. But the fact is, when you are running a business and you are in a deeply competitive marketplace, as many of the people here in this theater are, you have to be deeply competitive, aggressive about winning market share, and looking out for your bottom line.
No question, Stephen, and that's the misnomer oftentimes we get about this book is, well, this is about soft skills, this is about kumbaya, let's all get along. I've got to tell you, the 100 leaders that we met around the world, these people were tough. They were dealing with very, very difficult situations. You know, the financial collapse in Iceland, military tensions in the Middle East. You know, we were in Colombia, we were in Kenya, you know, all around the world, what we started to see were these leaders just adapting and evolving and bringing more of themselves into the challenge as a way to sort of lead in a new way.
Let's look at this from two different angles. Let's look at it, first of all, from the point of view of the message that you are sending out in terms of marketing, selling, branding. Do you see that thinking of this industry in particular, there needs to be a greater awareness of this value shift in the way that product is sold?
Oh, absolutely. I think if you look around the world, women purchase or influence nearly 83% of all products and services globally. And yet they represent something around 16-17% of the people that are actually innovating and designing those products. So, you know, we spent time in MIT Empathy Lab with Dr. Joseph Coughlin. He was doing something amazing, Stephen. He was designing products that hadn't yet been invented by empathy. And one of the things he had done is he had built a suit that mimics what it's like to be a senior citizen. And he had young designers basically trying to design cars and design products and store shelves while wearing this suit that limited your eyesight, limited your range of movement, and dulled your hearing. So part of this is really understanding the connection between empathy and innovation and realizing these are important.
But I'm just thinking about the sort of marketing and advertising I see for luxury brand watches or clothing or alcohol or whatever. And a lot of it seems to be, I think at one point on the board, the word arrogance came up, but a lot of it still seems to be driven by this idea that the world's a competitive place, and if you can afford this, you are a success, you've won the competition. There's a sort of undercurrent of old school thinking there, which are you suggesting is not working anymore?
I'm suggesting there's an added layer of meaning that's going to buttress and differentiate luxury brands in the future. They are looking for authenticity, they're looking for integrity, and increasingly
they're looking for value. How do you deliver that in a marketing campaign or in a branding exercise? How do you incorporate these, you know, quote unquote, more feminine values into a campaign?
I think you have to look at your company as a totality of its assets. You know, we just did some research that looked at Microsoft, for example. Of consumers that know the association between Microsoft and the Bill and Melinda Gates campaign, they actually believe that Microsoft cares for customers even more so than Apple. So I think one of the big challenges is we compartmentalize corporate responsibility and the values of the company as an elite function, something we do off to the side. Increasingly, consumers are looking for those aspects in all the branding that they look at.
Another thing that strikes me about this is that most of the examples you came up with, not all, but most of the examples you came up with were from the Western world, or countries that are sort of culturally sort of allied to a Western way of thinking. But does your analysis of the Athena doctrine and the feminization of our culture and our value systems, does that apply throughout the world? I can think of a lot of countries where, frankly, a lot of this might sound pretty fanciful or irrelevant.
Sure. So I mean, one of the things we did is we did gather data from 13 countries, including places like China and India. We traveled to Kenya, to India, to China, to Japan. And by all stretches, there's different levels of development. But one of the things that we saw that was consistent around the world were millennials, right? Young men and women that are thinking differently about branding, but they're also thinking differently about their careers and about what they define as leadership.
But if we think about the Middle East, we think about Africa, you're suggesting South Asia, you're suggesting that in the end, it may be a 10-year timeline, but we're all going to get to the same place.
Go to Kenya. We spent time in Kenya. It was the most interesting place. I would say Kenya and Colombia were the most interesting countries we investigated. We spent time with young entrepreneurs at iHub, which is this huge sort of Kickstarter where all these young kids are starting companies. You know, we spent time with Bob Collier, who's the CEO of Safaricom. You have an entire country where 75% of its GDP is being driven off of text-based messaging platform, which is called M-Pesa. So it's allowing people to start our businesses and to create connections in new ways. So technology is a massive factor in this. And I think all of us as branding, marketing, and leaders are going to understand these shifts that are emerging.
All right, well, John Gerzer, thank you very much indeed. John Stater, ladies and gentlemen, please give John a very important hand.